Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM, Bumma Brip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the daily country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have you seen Yan up strong, you mob? Now jump straight in it. We're going to talk to a beautiful Michaela French from Murra Law, and the topic here, Torres Strait Islander tradition is now the law. So this is great news for all our brothers and sisters, all my mob there at Torres Straits, in regard to the law. And we had a beautiful conversation with Michaela about this topic, which was a bill, and now it's an act. So I'll bring Kayla into the conversation. Kayla, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trev. Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here today to talk about this important topic.
Yes, and look, it's great news for our mob in Torres Straits. So give us a bit of intro in regard to the topic there, please, sister.
No worries. So the Torres Strait Islander Traditional Law, L-O-R-E, has been recognised as Law, L-A-W, after the Torres Strait Islander Traditional Child Rearing Practices Act for 2020 was passed in Queensland Parliament last week.
Woohoo!
Yeah, so a big achievement. So this act is historic for many reasons, but it means that traditional adoption and child rearing practices, which have been practised for many generations, is now recognised by the Australian legal system.
So what is the purpose of the act?
So the act aims to provide recognition of island custom, adoption and child rearing practices to ensure that a child who has been raised in accordance with that practice will benefit by having their legal identity reflect their cultural identity. It's also important to note that the Act also recognises the transfer of parentage from the birth parents to the cultural parents and establishes a legal framework to recognise child rearing practices.
Oh, fantastic. So why is the Act significant as such?
Yeah, so previously children who were culturally adopted could only take the name of their birth parents as the family or kinship relationships were not recognised by the Australian legal system.
Mm.
So to recognise that cultural adoption, cultural parents were required to go to the family court or the federal circuit court to obtain a parenting order to recognise the traditional adoption and child rearing practice. So the Act is significant because it allows Torres Strait Islander cultural parents to now have the same legal rights as other parents and be able to make parental decisions for their child and also obtain new birth certificates. It's also important to note as well, the Act addresses the issues about providing important documents and allows easy access to government services such as, you know, financial support, school enrolments and health services as well.
Fantastic. So what is the legal process to recognise Torres Strait Islander adoptions and child rearing practices?
The Act has made it accessible and affordable for cultural parents to make an application to receive a cultural recognition order to have the traditional adoption and child rearing practice recognised. So there can be two types of applications that can be made. The first is a joint application by the birth parents and the cultural parents for the child. And the second application is can be made by an adult who has grown up with cultural parents under the traditional child rearing practice.
So who makes the decision to approve cultural recognition order?
So a appropriately qualified Torres Strait Islander person will be appointed as the commissioner to make the decisions and grant a cultural recognition order. So in order to do that, the commissioner needs to ensure that consent has been given by the birth parents so that there's a verbal agreement between the birth parents and the cultural parents.
Mm-hmm.
They also need to make sure that the cultural parents are suitable to raise the child and that the adoption and child rearing practice is in the best interests of the child. So when the commissioner makes their decision, they can either decide to grant a cultural recognition order, and that means that they'll be able to have a new birth certificate, or if it's denied, then the application can then be referred to a minister for their review.
Okay, so will the Act need to be reviewed to ensure it is assisting Torres Strait Islander families?
Yes. Yeah, so there is a two-year review period that will be conducted after the bill has after the Act has commenced. Mm. And that review will look at how well the legal framework is working for Torres Strait Islander families, whether the Act is delivering accessible outcomes, and identify if any issues or changes need to be made.
Look, this has always been the tradition for Torres Strait Islanders. Forever and a day, I know families who have passed on, and usually the eldest child, the first child and the eldest child, is given to a sister of the family or a brother. That's virtually, they've always done that, you know. And there were some, questions by the law, LAW, in regard to their process. But here it is now. The bill was in and it has been passed. Now it's an act.
Yes, that's
right. So LAW, as you mentioned, L-O-R-E for Torres Strait Islander Tradition. So this is very, very good news.
It is great news, yes.
Fantastic. A beautiful conversation. Thank you very much, Michaela, for sharing. You're with Marra Law. Let the mob know who Marra Law is.
Yeah, so Marra Law is the nation's leading independent Indigenous legal firm that specialises in commercial and Indigenous land law. So if you need any legal advice or would like some more information about the new Act, you can call Marra Law on 404-13088.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for sharing. All the best to you. Hello to the girls and guys at Marra Law, and we'll talk soon, Michaela.
Thank you, Trev. Bye.
Bye-bye. Two deadly beautiful yarn there with Michaela French from Marra Law in the studio with me here at Bama Bipra for National Talk Black. And that deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. And that deadly beautiful topic was Torres Strait Islander Tradition is now the law. So in regard to Torres Strait Islander Traditional Law, LRE, has been recognised as law after Torres Strait Islander Tradition Child Rearing Practices Act 2020 was passed in Queensland Parliament last week. So great news for all our mob in the Torres Straits, and that's how we've always done it, and that's the way it should be. Fantastic. National Talk Black, yarning with the ball you run. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM, Bama Bipra Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service.
There is something really beautiful in our hearts and in our soul. Love and kindness we all can share around the world with so much care. In the heavens of the great blue sky, there's no answer to the question why. I close my eyes and I'm awake. I close my eyes. This is the place, feels good to me, where it's calm and so much love. Whales and dolphins are having fun in the heavens of the great blue sky. There's no answer to the question why. I close my eyes and I'm awake. I close my eyes. Really beautiful, captured moments when the moon is full, sunrise and sunset in the heavens of the great blue sky. There's no answer to the question why. I close my eyes and I'm away. I close my eyes and I'm awake, 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 awake. I close my eyes and I'm away. And I'm awake in paradise. And I'm awake.
Folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. You can give us a call on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. And yarn up strong, too deadly. Okay, now tax time support for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, very much needed. We're going to catch up a yarn in regard to this space and talk to Karen Foat, Assistant Commissioner with the Australian Tax Office on the line. Karen, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm well, and how are you?
I'm very good. Thank you very much. And living pretty good up here in Queensland at the moment, and thinking of a mob down south, especially Victoria, and with the world we live in at the moment, COVID-19, all upside down at the moment, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. So talking about the support that ATO are offering the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, you're finding that there are a lot of calls coming in to the ATO from First Nation people in regard to, education and direction in regard to tax time and also regarding superannuation, yes?
That's right. So we've actually got a dedicated phone line, an Indigenous helpline, mm-hmm. and that line takes about 39,000 calls each year in helping Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
So that shows that there is a call, there is a space there to work and help and support Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in regarding tax time, yes?
That's right. Look, we know that tax can be a daunting thing for people, and sometimes it's a little bit difficult to understand.
Mm.
And so that's why we have these types of services to help people to be able to work their way through it.
And so the phone number for that line, please?
Sure. It's 13 10 30.
13 10 30, and that's open to all peoples, and that's whether you're in business, whether you're a single parent, a bricklayer, whatever the case may be, yep?
That's right. So that helpline is there to help all Indigenous Australians.
Okay. And with the, are we talking doing their tax over the phone with you? Is that how it works?
Yeah, look, sometimes they can. We've also got a program that we call the Tax Help Service. And that's where we've got volunteers who either go out in the community, or this year we can also do it online, over the phone, or via a virtual program, so on the internet, and they can help people to do their tax returns. So people who earn less than $60,000 a year are eligible for that service.
Okay.
And of course, we also have that Indigenous helpline that can help people over the phone as well. So if you're needing a bit of help, if you haven't done your tax return yet, then you need a bit of help, give us a call on 13 10 30, and then we'll work out how we can best help you.
Karen, so when we're looking at tax returns as such, it's compulsory and it's important to be done, yes?
Yeah, look, it does depend on how much you've earned, etc. So, but if you've earned over around $18,000, or if you've had any tax taken out through the year, you do need to lodge a tax return. If you're an individual and you're doing it yourself or through these types of programs, it's due at the end of October. So that date is sneaking up on us.
Mm.
You do have a bit longer if you use a tax agent, but if you're wanting to do it yourself or through one of these programs like Tax Help, it needs to be in by the end of October. So if you're not sure what you need to do, the best thing that listeners can do is to give us a call on 13 10 30 and we'll let you know what it is you need to do.
And in regards to doing your tax return, there's a 90% chance that you can get a refund?
Look, lots of people, most people are actually entitled to a refund when they lodge their tax return. So if you haven't done it yet and you know you need to, then it's certainly worth following up on.
Yes.
Because that refund can come, you know, at an important time, and we know there's people all around the country struggling at the moment, but it never hurts
sure.
to get a refund, of course.
Look, and some of them are probably thinking the looking at the other side of the coin. If they put it in, they may owe the tax man. Is that the case?
Sometimes it can be if you haven't had enough taken out through the year. But the best thing that you can do is work with someone to get your tax return in, so probably over that helpline or through our tax help. And then if you do have a debt, we do have friendly people here who can help you work out how to pay that back. We have arrangements where you can pay things back over time. It's always better to find this type of thing out sooner rather than later.
Yes.
Because if you don't, if you delay lodging a return because you're afraid you'll get a debt, that debt can grow. So it's better just to, look, just talk to us and we'll help you work out the best way forward.
All right, fantastic. Look, very important conversation, and thank you very much for sharing. He says sometimes it's daunting talking to the Australian Tax Office, but they're there to support you, help you, guide you, and we'll get financially intelligent, so to speak. Yes, hey.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, we actually, you know, might be big and scary sounding, but
that's right.
We're not so big and
scary. Friendly people.
We are friendly. We're here to help.
And by your tone, Karen, that is the case. Thank you very much for sharing. All the best to you and your team and your family. Stay safe. We'll talk soon.
Stay safe also.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Adela Yarn there. Karen Fote, her name is. She's the Assistant Commissioner for the Australian Tax Office, and it is tax time coming up very soon, and tax time support for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are there at your fingertips. You can call them on that deadly number, 131030. Again, 131030 to get your tax in, the tax return. 90% of the time you get a tax refund, so it's money back in your pocket. Fantastic. And don't be too scared about the situation. It can get daunting, but if you put it in, and if there is a bill, is a payment plan, they can talk to you about paying off and what have you. But better to dot your I's and cross your T's and make it all good for you in the future regarding finances. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Yarnum with the ball around Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from McCurry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbleberry Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Give the Murray a call. Let's have a yarn. Too deadly.
Oh, they'll be able to run away.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning circle, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day. A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Nakari, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know, BBM Bummer Bip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, enhancing the Indigenous cultural competency of the Australian teaching workforce, we're going to catch up a yarn there with Sister Carly Jaya, Senior Advisor, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Education, that's ATSIL, and got her on the line. Carly, very good morning, my sister. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. First of all, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
So my name is Carly Jaya. I'm a Yidinji Wadulag and Meriam woman from Far North Queensland.
Mm-hmm.
Ripping down here in Wurundjeri country.
Fantastic. Look, you are down in Melbourne, Victoria, there in lockdown at the moment. Thinking of you guys, how are you travelling first in that space in regarding the lockdown, sis?
Oh, the walls are caving in.
Yeah, we'll be climbing the walls, that's
weeks,
right.
A couple of more weeks to go and hopefully we'll be out of it. So.
Yeah. And you mentioned off air there that you're a thin wall, so our daughter's there at home, listen to the yarn. Mum, you talk too loud, let growling come. Which way are you travelling?
We're all competing for space and air.
Oh, lovely. Thinking of you guys. So, like I said, a different world we're living at the moment. Now, let's talk about, first, your role there with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Education, Senior Advisor. Tell us about how long you've been doing that role, how you got into the role, and let's start with that, please, sis.
Yeah, so I came from an environment where we were struggling to prioritise Indigenous education, and I got frustrated at that level. And the role with the Australian Institute for Teaching and Leadership came up as the Senior Advisor for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Education. So it was an opportunity for me to be able to go back to at a national level and try and influence and impact, you know, our student outcomes from that level.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's the first time Indigenous education has ever had access to the profession, like the way in which ATSIL has reached into the teaching profession.
Mm-hmm.
They're very reputable in the resources and tools that they develop to support teachers and school leaders through their education journey. So, you know, having an Indigenous perspective throughout all the work that ATSIL produces and the influence it has in the profession was just an amazing opportunity you couldn't pass up. So I feel like, you know, we're at a really exciting stage for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander education.
Sure. And when we're talking about enhancing the Indigenous cultural competency of Australian teaching workforce, it's about also educating the non-Indigenous teachers in regarding engaging with our First Nations students so that bridge is built and that communication built and their understanding in regarding that education platform, yes?
Absolutely. I mean, and that's a critical part of this whole process is
of course.
Having teachers really identify you know, and unpack themselves in terms of their own biases and assumptions and beliefs and attitudes about Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, have, you know, develop some cultural understanding about what these kids bring to the classroom every single day.
Mm.
So it's not just the social issues that they deal with, but they're dealing with issues like, you know, barriers around language and
yes.
understanding language in the classroom. So if their language is English is a second, third, fourth, fifth language for them more, then they're not accessing the curriculum because they're learning a language the same time they're learning curriculum. So
exactly.
They're just being doubly...
They're behind the eight ball from the get-go, aren't they?
Absolutely, yeah. And then those types of, you know, when a child doesn't start understand what's going on in the classroom, they disengage and then they start playing up and then it's perceived as behavioural issues.
Yes, which is not the case.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Exactly. What does cultural safety look like in schools as such?
So cultural safety, I feel, is really about centering the child and it's the education experience of the child as opposed to cultural competency is, you know, building your own understanding and awareness and knowledges.
Mm.
Well, cultural safety is about providing an environment that's conducive to those learning needs of our kids.
we need for the curriculum as a whole in this country, you know, a lot of non-Indigenous teachers to get educated on that that cultural engagement, you know, and to build that bridge. It's very, very important. Yeah. And that's missing and has been missing for a very long time. Well, since education curriculum has started, yes.
Yeah, definitely. And the curriculum plays a vital role for ensuring Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander success. So the cultural competency of teachers support and supported by those different types of pedagogy, those culturally responsive pedagogy.
Mm.
So part of that is the ability to embed those Indigenous perspectives and the ways of learning authentically and respectfully into the curriculum.
Well, when you look at it, it's in regards to the communication is the platform of education, is the platform for a young person to build their empire, their future on. And if they haven't got the communication or the education and the simple education, then something's missing there. So the government's got to do a lot more in regards to educating their non-Indigenous teachers, yes?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And, you know, for a child, two places of consistency in their life is home and school.
Yes.
So we have to be providing, an environment both within the school and the classroom.
Well, if we're talking about closing the gap, you know what I mean, and we talk about employment, we talk about housing, well, education is way up there as well, one of the big pillars that the gap need to be closed. And if they don't have the education for non-Indigenous teachers to get the education and communication cultural aspect, then the gap will never close.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Very important conversation.
So we feel that this is an opportunity to be able to engage non-Indigenous people into, this process, with centering teachers and school leaders in Indigenous education, and then, that accountability and ensuring that, what's good for an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander student is good for all students.
Yes.
And it's not the other way around.
Yes. Give us a bit of background in regarding ATSL, you as the Senior Advisor Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Education. ATSL, how do you operate? What's that arm? What's that the vehicle you're using in regard to communication with the so-called curriculum or the government or non-Indigenous teachers?
Yeah, absolutely. ATSL sets the standards for teachers. So there are 7 standards that teachers must abide to in terms of their education experience. So there are focus areas within the standards 1.4 and 2.4, which are specific to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander education. So know your student and know about the content that you're delivering to those students. So, this work requires a moral mandate. So we don't have sticks. We don't have anything behind us to be able to enforce teachers to be culturally competent.
Mm.
But there are these standards that that teachers must adhere to. And the Australian curriculum.
Yes.
Embedding Indigenous perspectives. There are cross-curricular priorities that teachers must embed into the curriculum. So but it is a moral mandate. It's hitting teachers individually and at a personal level as well, for them to be able to really take a step back, look at education through a different lens and another worldview other than their own.
Exactly. And look, especially in away from the cities, in rural and places like here in Cairns, I think of Mossman, in the Aboriginal communities, Yarraba, what have you, you're finding that some teachers are very passionate about teaching, that they will go over and above and beyond what they've learnt in the universities in regarding cultural engagement, and hats off to them. But more teachers, principals, and like I said, the curriculum as a whole need to do a lot more. Yes,
absolutely, absolutely. I mean, you can work in one Aboriginal community and then go to the Torres Strait. It's a completely different context.
Exactly.
So you're developing different competencies along that journey. You don't just go and do your cultural awareness training or culture capability training and then you're done.
No, it's not one size fits all, is it, Carly?
Lifelong. Yeah, it's learning, unlearning, relearning.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Well, we are students for life, and you as a teacher, and all the teachers out there, and professors, and principals, you're still a student, is what we're saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. absolutely.
To Deli, my sister. Very important conversation, yes. Well, thank you for sharing, my sister. Look, and all the best to you and your family there, your team there, and the work that you're doing and the space that you're working in regarding the lockdown, COVID-19. But stay strong, my sister, and we'll yarn soon, Carly.
Yep, big shout-out to my mum up there, Cairns.
To Deli. One love, sis. Right. Bye-bye.
Yawo.
Beautiful yarn there. Carly Jaya, Senior Advisor, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Education, AITSL, and the work there regarding enhancing the Indigenous culture competency of the Australian teaching workforce. So very important to have that communication to teach our young ones, our First Nations students. To Deli Mob, have your say. Yarn up strong here on National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Yarning with the ball around Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from McCurry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbaribrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. 1-800-422-416. Give the Murray a call. Let's have a yarn. Too deadly. Stomping ground there, Emily Warama, and this is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong? 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the ball, you're on Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from Nakari, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation, thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. We've got someone online. Someone, good morning.
Morning again, brother. Yeah, I can stand that parenting and young mother and all this paper, but before I do that, brother, my take on that call of, that outcry for pitch that Donald Bryson used to play on.
Yes.
And they were saying that they should sue for cultural heritage destruction. That history is only yesterday, brother, and pisses me off because our history, now I'm talking to the singing to the choir, but it's my little take on that, brother. Are you okay? Okay, no, I'm not okay. But that's what happened in New Zealand.
That's what you're ringing,
But I'm telling you, it's like sobriety for me too, because I heard a speaker at a meeting I went to, and he said, you know, it's like walking in a long grass on your, in a house, and there's a python or something in there. And you've got that adrenaline rush, and you always have that adrenaline rush in the early in sobriety. And I did, because when we used to go to meetings, just a kick of a can, a smoking can, and walking down the street, you know, I'd still go to the back street, I didn't put the bullet in, and somebody knocked on the door, and when I got pulled up in a car, you know, I felt guilty. But it took a long time for me, and then in general rush, and same with the children, brother, even now, my children, brother, I'm still on the radar app, old as a left, brother. And, on young mother's brother, when you get to educate young mothers to go to continue with their education, They did have that, and but over 50 years ago, brother, that movie Christmas Coming to Dinner under discussion, Dr. Clayton and Sidney Poitier.
Yes.
And Sidney Poitier, dad was giving him the lowdown, the son, from points going to the dad, to the son, and Sidney Poitier said to him, look, that's what you're supposed to do, what good dad's supposed to do. But anyway, that was over 50 years ago, and they were sort of commentating on the black and white, isn't it?
Yes.
Coming together. No way. They did it with a team of two men now, yeah, brother.
Exactly.
And with the crowds and the mum and the dad. But you know, when that movie came out, it was a landmark movie. But 1949, before that, a black fellow from Sherbrooke, an Aboriginal officer named Harold Blair, he met a white in 1949. That was before that ever happened. And me parenting two brother like that. I asked a bully to give up to my children's mum. And they said, look at you, big fella, you know, what you want to DVO for? But I think people get that emotion of mental abuse too, is domestic violence. While I was alien building, I also used Al-Anon because I went to AA too, and Al-Anon is with us. It's a course I've done a voluntary with people, and I said, you can see what it's been to them. but you can't see what it's doing to you. So I use Al-Anon for a long time, to help me cope with what I was going through, brother. That's what I must put that out there.
Sure. Exactly.
Yeah, there are people out there, there are agencies that they're going to go get up. But thank you, brother.
Thank you for your input there. Thank you very much, Owen. There you go, Jan Armstrong here on your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. That's the number you need to call. Jan with the ball around Trevor, Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, taking right at 12 noon Queensland time here on the Murray Grapevine, 1-800-422-416. And we've got Tony Gibbs. Good morning, Tony.
Yeah, good morning, Trevor. Morning, everybody. I wanted to finish a little bit the other day before I got carried away on medical things yesterday about asbestos again.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, yes, yes.
There's quite a history with asbestos and Murray's, but I told you I used to work with it.
Mm.
I went for a job in Sydney too after I had been doing maintenance work in an asbestos place, and the job in the paper, this is in Sydney.
Back when? What was the year of that?
Oh, this is back in the 60s. I had to go up to this office in Sydney for this job. The job was in the country. And when I got to the building, there was one of them great big sandstone sort of Sydney buildings, I think, and it said asbestos house on it. So I looked
at it. Had a sign there, did it?
It had a brass plaque on the front of the building, I remember. And I was shocked because I went to the Chrysler tile.
You should have had it in brackets there, wear a mask when you come in here.
Well, that's exactly, but anyway, it said asbestos house, and I found out that the Christ. Desperate to get people to work in that industry. So anyway, I knocked that job back, but it was at a place in New South Wales called Barabin. And there's a really bad story with Murray's there because they heard it was toxic, but there was a lot of Murray kids who used to play out the back in the tailings, you know, the waste of it.
Mm.
They were told that it only hurts white men.
Wow.
That is an atrocity.
Of course it is.
And I always wonder what happened to that population out there, you know, but that's a long time ago.
Mm.
And then it's like the Peter Garrett too. He wrote that the Midnight Oil. They did that Blue Sky Mine. Well, that was about Western Australia's asbestos mine, wasn't it?
Mm, exactly.
Yeah, anyway, I just wanted, that was just to finish the story. There's a terrible history that does involve Aboriginal people, and they may be entitled to conversation. And I just don't know the outcome of that, but that's what they were told. It only hurts white people.
Sure. But that just shows you, like, how black people were treated back in the day, you know, and especially the kids. But, you know, trying to kill us off, that's virtually what they're trying to do.
Yeah, well, it's a deadly thing. I've got a really good bit of news. I've been keeping in touch with my sister in Sydney because her husband was in hospital and she's getting older.
Mm.
And I've got a nephew down there. When me and Donald went down there, we took him up in the Blue Mountains and around, and he got to, like, Donald, he'd never met Aboriginal people before, And I found out that he's met up with an Aboriginal woman down there, and they have twin girls. So I actually have Murray kids in the family.
Ah, beautiful. You got nieces.
Yeah, beautiful.
With black blood.
Yeah, mate, because me and Donna never had kids. So,
sure.
Yeah, you know, used to go to the.
Were your family good with Donna?
Oh, yeah, mate.
Yes.
Yeah. Because we were just passing through, and then I had one trip down south because my younger sister passed away in similar circumstances to Don. Well, I've got one sister left, and her son, they've got twin girls, so I'm really proud to say that. Because you've got granddad to them Murray kids too, because I used to go to land council meetings and they tell me to shut up, you know, and I was shut up, and Donna said, well, it would be different if we had kids, you know.
Yeah, true, exactly.
Yeah, this is it. That gives you a more legitimate connection to talk.
Mm.
But anyway, I just feel that my family is connected properly with Australia now. So
beautiful.
I'll say good morning to you and leave room for someone else.
Thank you, my brother. You take care, Tony. A beautiful yarn there, Tony Gibbs there, and finding connection there with his family, and also finding out that, yeah, of course, got nieces with that black blood, which is fantastic, and of course the family accepted his beloved Donna. Fantastic. Have you say your mob, yarn up strong. National Talk Black, deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station in Cairns. You know it, BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and a big shout out to First Nation radio station around the country, a beautiful black network. Have you say your mob, yarn up strong. 1-800-422-416.
Hey, what you doing, your mob? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
I used to leave a spare house key underneath the welcome mat, thinking about those little things. Always seems to take me back. Now I leave the door ajar ever since you walked out the room. I don't know where you are, but I'm hoping you come home soon. My cards are down, I face the truth. The best part of me is you. Both crawling sick when the weather turned it on. 40 k's to the beach, now feels 40 k's too long. Remember when we used to stay 10 for a bay view? Now it's overtime and take away. Even when the skies are
Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
Brothers and my sisters, For we are aborigines, come from near and far. I come from the Koganji tribe, and I live in Yarraba.
Yeah, beautiful track. Good morning, you mob there, Yarraba. That's BC Barry Cedric here on your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Give the Murray call, let's have a yarn. And it's the bally one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Rikari, taking you right through 12 noon Queensland time. We've got someone online, someone.
Yeah, I'm back again, brother. Yeah, brother, I want to talk about two government incentives that backfired.
Yeah.
One was the, I'm going to talk about the baby bonds. One was the victim compensation. It was brought about through the Southeast Queensland rich retiree around Ipswich. They didn't come up with that, and of course they didn't get compensation. But it backfired. Why I'm saying backfired, they learned that there was more black victims than there were white victims, and they tried to knock it in the head. There was a case up in the Cape here when a partner, the woman partner, was assaulted, and they said she should have left. They said she provoked it, but they couldn't. They couldn't have. She got the victim compensation in it. So that backfired on white people, because they always thought that black fellows, white fellows are more victims than white fellows. And the other one is a baby bonus, brother. You know, the white, the young, you know, I often do say that kids have, the white, they took advantage of that. They could finance it in to boost the population. But of course, the black ones, they got the Eve gene, brother, and you know they had a lot of kids.
Yes.
And, because of that, you had white couples. White couples were growing up in India to rent a womb, so that they could, you know, taking up children that way. So that's another one that why, brother. Thank you very much, brother, for my little rant, brother. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. Yeah, a lot of things backfire regarding, trial and testing. And that's what they do. They test the water, so to speak, with the concept and an idea, throw money at it, and look at the effects. And if it does work, then they scrap it. And if it does work, then fantastic. But like you said, a lot of them do backfire. So good point there. Someone, thank you very much. Murray, going to sign off for you, Mopper. Thank you very, very much for your company. We've got the news coming up here very soon on National Talk Black. Thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. It is a voice for our people, so do utilise it and support your First Nation radio station across the country. It is a Deadly Black Network. You Mob, thank you very much for your company. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are in the pandemic, and don't be lackadaisy with that. Let's not relax on our morals, and let's abide by the rules. Only vaccine we got. Too deadly.
I'll take you back to my dream time. Take you back. I never knew where I was, where I was running to. I never knew my name. And now I looked over yonder, and dream time have to come. Yangul Marna Warangadi. Yarul Mana Warangadi. Mede Jarul Mana. Mede Jarul Mana. Dream time, take me to my dream time. Dream time in my time. Dream time in your time. Yarul Mana Ajumili Warangu. Yangul mana ngajo mele mede go wajani ngaba wani nyanba waranil mana take me back to my dream time. Where I belong, where I wanna be. And there'll be no sorrow, no penalty. In my dream time now or ever, mine will be mine and yours will be yours. Whatever you do, will you do, and I will do mine. Dream time, take me back. Take me back to my dream time. Take me back.